listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
This is Tom Creighton, station manager of WCNO Radio. Most of you know that WCNO Radio is a listener-supported ministry. But do you know that much of our programming is made possible by corporate underwriting? Christian businessmen and women who sponsor this ministry monthly with a financial commitment that allows us to continue bringing you the music and message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In return, we play sponsorship announcements that let the listeners know who our sponsors are, what they do, what products and services they provide, and if our listeners wish, how they may contact those sponsors. So if you're a Christian business person, why not join us as a partner in ministry today? For free, no obligation information on the corporate underwriting program, we're available at 772-221-1100. That number again, 772-221-1100.
Port St. Lucie First Church of the Nazarene is a church on the move. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Wednesday evening Bible study and prayer at 7 p.m. The church is located at 121 Southwest Kester Drive in Port St. Lucie, just off of Darwin Boulevard. For more information, call 336-3908. Let us be your church home on your way to your heavenly home. That number again, 336-3908.
God is asking you to do a very difficult decision in obedience and accordance to His will. He's asking you to sever something. He's asking you to cut something out. He's asking you to confront someone. He's asking you to walk in truth. Can you do it? I don't want you just singing praises to me and you don't mean it.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue a topical series that will encourage us to maintain a biblical mindset in the coming year. Pastor Bernard will be emphasizing that obedience to Scripture is necessary for us to enjoy a close relationship with God. Pastor Bernard will be discussing several passages of Scripture in today's message, including 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. We are going to pick up with Pastor Bernard's discussion on the powerful influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now here's Pastor Bernard with the continuation of Obedience Invites an Infinite God to Show Up in Your Life, Part 2.
So if the Holy Spirit is living in me and rules in me, why do I need a physical manifestation of Jesus to take him from his lofty throne so he can make a special trip just for me? You're not too special. You're not greater than the Scriptures. Don't you know the devil knows that, hey, I'm going to create a scenario where they think it's Jesus. I'm going to counterfeit this thing. And you write a whole bunch of books, start schools and universities, and you start teaching things that don't line up with God. Jesus lives in us by way of the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Is some of Jesus in you or all of Jesus in you? All of Him. And the Spirit identify their own children. Verse 21 again. Verse 21 tells us, you got my commandments, Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. Keep them and do them. He that love me and he that love me shall be loved my Father. I will love him. And again, I will show up in your life. I will manifest myself to you. But did you notice again that the emphasis on verse 21 is behavior again? It's behavior. A person does not show that the Holy Spirit lives in them or show up in their life or manifest in their life because of some bizarre behavior or belief. There's all types from that church, different churches, the Toronto Blessing, where they were on their knees barking arr, 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 like dogs. Or they, you tell me? And if it's not there, then why do we teach it? If it's not there, why are you buying the books? If it's not there, why are you going to the churches? The Holy Spirit would not act. If, like I said, in my own personal experience, and they used to tell me that the Holy Spirit has hit that person, and I was 5, when I saw the Holy Spirit show up, I wanted nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Because I saw people doing things with their head, and they're shaking their head, or they're falling down and throwing a cloth on them. Let me ask you something. When the Holy Spirit baptized Jesus, it descended on him like a dove. He didn't start hissing like a snake and fall down. He was a gentleman. It was gentle. It wasn't chaotic. It wasn't crazy. It wasn't bizarre behavior. Be careful what you're watching, folks. You get thousands of people. A man take a towel out and he waves it and the whole row falls down. And they say that's the Holy Spirit. You can keep that spirit. Because that's a spirit of truth. And then that's a spirit of error. Amen? We must obey. God, well, how do I know you got the Holy Ghost? Because you got to be How you living? Do you obey the commandments consistently? You're not perfect, but there's a consistency where you're following God's scriptures and his command. It's essential for the body of Christ, though, before I move to my next scripture, it's essential that the body of Christ, that we promote a balance in church when it comes down to the Holy Spirit. Making too much of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit leads to mysticism. Making too less of the Holy Spirit leads to legalism. It's only when we got a balanced biblical perspective that we can follow in unity. Let's move to 2 Kings now. Now that we understand about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helps us to see God, and he helps us to manifest and occupy a mindset we can experience God. So let's move to this life of where the Holy... I'm impressed with these Old Testament people, let me tell you. See, they didn't have the Holy Spirit like we have the Holy Spirit. He wasn't living in them. There was no Pentecost. And I'm going to go to a place where there was no Ten Commandments. There was no Ten Commandments. There was no law. They just had to listen and hear what the prophet said by faith. Everybody say obedience. A destitute widow witnessed God showing up in her life and showing out in her life because she paid a lot of money, because she said a specific prayer. No, because of her obedience. 2 Kings 4:1-7. Now that cry... a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets of Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Pause for a second. In that day, it was normal, it was part of the situation where if you couldn't pay your bills, you couldn't pay the creditor would come in and take your sons and your daughters as a payment. And here's this girl, loving God, reminding the prophet that, hey, my husband was in your school, my husband was with you, and you know he was God-fearing, and you know that he loves God. Here I am destitute. He is dead. Now, in that day, you married to a prophet, a lot of times you were poor. You didn't have a palace, you didn't have a little jet. You were poor. And Elijah, look at his response. He immediately said, "What shall I do for you? Tell me." He said, "Well, all thing I got is this, is a little thing of oil," verse 3. Then he said, "Go borrow these vessels abroad, all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." Pause. Now she could have said, "Now that don't make any sense, Elisha. I don't have pots." And there are too many people still in poverty, not all of them, but there are people, when you give them direction and give them instructions and you show them how to get out of that situation, they don't want it. This lady could say, I thought you'd do something different, Elisha. Like, give me the money right now. People like, I want to see the green right now. No, I'm not going to give you the money right now. You got to take some steps. What was he doing? Getting her to demonstrate obedience. Get her to demonstrate faith. I said, okay, he worked with my husband. He's a man of God. This may not make sense to me, but I'm going to do what he's asked me to do. So what do we get? Verse 5. So when she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children and the rest. I did what the man of God said. And I got these pots filled. Oh my, I got money to pay off my debt. I got money to live. Why? Why did God show up in your life, Miss Widow? If I could ask you, what happened? What did you do different? You were poor and destitute. She said, I obeyed the man of God. God is asking some of you guys to obey him right now. It's interesting that he said, go get a number of pots. I will submit to you, that might be a parallel to one's faith. Some of us, I got two pots, Jesus, would that work? I got two little pots, I'm going to get five pots. We don't know how many, but she'd have got 30, 50, 100, who knows how many vessels that she's gotten. How much more oil, how much more blessing she would have had in her life. And God is asking us to walk in faith and obey him. Don't be giving him one pot. Don't be giving him a couple. Say, God, I'm going to give it to you all. Give you my money, give you my resources, give you my time. I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do. And I know you're going to show up in my life. Now, let me go to another guy where God showed up in our time remaining. Turn your Bible to Genesis. See, that story demonstrates God is faithful to care for those who are faithful to him, who live for him, who trust him and obey him, just like that widow did. Well, there was another guy. This one really going to grab you. His name is Abraham. Abraham's obedience put him in a position to see God show up and show out in his life as well. Genesis 22, 10 through 14. Background. Now, Abraham and Sarah did not have a child that they for them own between the both of them. And he was 100 and she was 99, and that just didn't make sense biologically. The time has passed. You know, she was no more ministrating. She was no more in a capacity to have children. But then the angel said, hey, you're going to have a child. And she laughed earlier. But it came to that time where that reality happened that she had a child. And you think they didn't love that miracle baby? Because I want you not to miss. Don't miss what God is going to do in this man's life. And especially some of us, if you got relational issues or you got challenges in your life right now, and God, it seems like he's asking you to do the most hardest thing. He's asking you to do something that you think is not fair, it's not right, that God doesn't understand the situation, but God is asking you to be obedient about a situation right now, and you're saying, but God. You don't see but God with Abraham. Pick it up, verse 1. And it came to pass of these things that God did tempt Abraham. Pause. Genesis 22, 10 through 14. Tempt God. That's not tempting in sin. The Hebrew word for that word tempt is nasah. Nasah. It means to test, to try, and to prove. That's what that word is, tempt there. Verse 2. And he said, take now thy son. Look at the emphasis. Thy only son, Isaac. Now, we know he had another son, Ishmael. But he's qualifying it. He's telling you that the son of promise, that the son of blessing, that the one that you love with all your heart, mind, and soul, the one that's so important to you, I want you to take Isaac, which is indicative of how significant this was. Remember the circumstance of his conception, guys. Miracle. Take your son, who thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon the mountains which I would tell thee. All the mamas in the house, are you listening? All the daddies in the house, are you listening? Grandmamas in the house, are you listening? You that have adult children, are you listening? Young person, are you listening? There's something that God's saying you got to do something, get rid of and eliminate. I got something for you to do for me personally. Will you do it? And every day we come to church on a regular basis. We come and say, oh, we love you, Lord, and we bless your name. We love you, Lord, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we praising and we raising the hand. And God says, uh-oh, testing time. Testing time, Pastor Bernard King. Testing time. I'm pretty comfortable here at Calvary Fort Lauderdale. I'm very comfortable. I got my kids in private school, and got the bills paid, got the mortgage paid, got things going well. I want you to leave it. How are we going to pay for that tuition? How am I going to pay my mortgage? Who's going to listen to me on a regular basis? Who's going to come to church on Wednesday? Who's going to come to church on Saturday? See, here's the thing on Sunday. Here's the thing. It was like, if I don't do this, it's treason. If I don't do this, I'm the biggest hypocrite that ever lived on the planet. If I don't do this, how dare me to sing, I love you, God. This is where Abraham is. You read the text, and I know commentators want to speculate that him and Sarah have a conversation. We know, Isaac don't know what's going on. We're going to see that later. But that's interesting how the grammar is spelled out in verse 3. It just says, and. I want you to see that. Verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning. Now, I got to say, I'm thinking, how'd you sleep, Abraham? I wasn't there, but how'd you sleep? How'd you sleep, Abraham? God just hit you where it hurts the most. God just wanted to, he was testing you. The Bible says, and saddled up his ass and took his young men in with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. And it looks to me, when I read the word of God, boom, immediate obedience. No trepidation. No what ifs. This is the God that promised me that I'm going to have my seeds as far as the east is from the west. I'm going to have more than the count the stars. My God took me out, had me count the stars, had me count the sand. He told me I'm standing on his promises. That's why I believe he was so quick to obey. Are you so quick to obey? You stand on God's promises. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. I would love to be in there for that. Look, Daddy, what you doing? He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went there together. Verse 7, Isaac does have a question. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, son, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? There was a lot in there. That tells me that was a regular practice in their life. That tells me that they did offerings before. That tells me that they were worshiping and communing with God. And so this young man knows from his church training, from his experience, from his indoctrination, that we serve a God and this is what we do. So, Dad, where is the lamb? Abraham said, verse 8, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. So I'm showing his little mice, okay, no problem. This is the same dad that came to his servants at 99 years old, says, I spoke with God. He said he wanted to start a new covenant in Genesis chapter 17, and this should be a token and a covenant that we're going to circumcise every male. I'm sure all the men in the camp said, say what? You want us to do what? Yeah, I want you to circumcise yourself, and identify yourself with me. Can you see Sarah? Oh, what else did the Lord tell you, Abraham? Abraham, what first did he say? Leave the city of Uz. Well, okay, if he's listening to God, well, oh, Isaac knew how to trust his dad. His dad was listening to God. Verse 9, it came to the place. Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in the order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. Pause for a second. Can you do that, Mama? Can you do that, Dad? Can you do that, Grandma? No, he's not going to ask you to literally go and kill someone, but God is asking you to do a very difficult decision in obedience and accordance to his will. He's asking you to sever something. He's asking you to cut something out. He's asking you to confront someone. He's asking you to walk in truth. Can you do it? I'm testing you. I don't want you just singing praises to me and you don't mean it. I'm going to test you. And the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Now, it doesn't say that, but I'm sure Abraham's heart was just, I knew it, but I needed that. Because he's a man, but he exercised faith. Because I'm sure he thinking, if I kill him, he's going to resurrect. He's going to have to resurrect because God told me that he, through him, through Isaac, where all the nations would be my seed that would continue the blessing among all nations. And look at verse 12. Why did God show up? Why did God stop his hand? Why did God intervene immediately? Why did God reveal himself in a glorious way? Verse 12. And he said, lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know, now I know, now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Parents, he may call you to make a move about your child, about your children, about your adult kid. And God is saying, now I know that you're more concerned about respecting my wishes versus your own wishes right now. Now I know you're ready to change how you do your money because I know you're concerned with me being glorified through your money that I give you versus you using it for yourself. What are you withholding from God right now? What is it? Who is it? What and who is it? Because God want to know if you love him. You want me to show up in your marriage right now? You want me to show up with your parenting skills? You want me to show up in your finances? You want me to show up with your health, your physical health? You want to get off the blood pressure pill? You want to make sure your sugar is right? You want to make sure, well, it's going to all be tied into this sweet thing called obedience. Abraham went. I saw something very interesting as we wrap it up. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, we have translated it as Jehovah Jireh. But in Hebrew, the word is Jehovah Yireh. Jehovah Yireh. You know what that word means? Not just God is our provider, Jehovah sees. Jehovah sees. He sees. He sees your pain. He sees the problems. He sees the challenges. He sees your good. He sees the bad. He sees everything that you're going through. He's engaged. Jehovah sees. And because he sees, he's going to provide. Because he can see what's going on. Guess what? You obey, and I'm going to give you the information. I'm going to give you the wisdom. I'm going to give you the instruction. I'm going to give you the courage. I'm going to give you the power to make that decision. I see it. That's what it means in Hebrew. Jehovah sees. We sing Jehovah Jireh, love my provider, but again, Jesus, God sees. If you want to see God show up in your life, obey. I see your problems. I know what you're facing. But I got a reason why I got this test in your life right now. I'm testing you. I'm proving you. I'm pulling you out of measure. I'm going to break your heart today, Pastor. I'm going to break your heart, Christian. I'm going to break your heart. I'm going to ground it down to powder so I can do something with you. You know, that all happened when you became born again. God had to break you. Contrition had to take place. Something had to happen where you no longer follow your own agenda. Something had to happen where you don't exercise your own self-autonomy. something had to happen before you could even see God and recognize, like me, we all had to recognize, I'm a sinner. I fall short. I need salvation. I need your forgiveness. Be merciful to me, God. Be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. I have sinned. I have rebelliously sinned and transgressed against you. I receive Jesus as my Savior. I'm going to trust your provision as my absolute forgiveness. I'm going to place my trust in you totally, God, with your grace. Help me to trust you and believe you. And I'm going to receive your gift of salvation, which is in Christ and Christ alone. You see, that wouldn't happen if you continue to think that you're your own Savior. You don't get no contrition. You still operate in pride. And your pride says you don't need God. And your pride says, I'm going to hold on to my tradition. And your pride says, I'm going to hold on to the way I do church. This is how I do church. And if you can't do it that way, I don't need God. I'm going to do it my way. Your pride says, I don't want to hear what you got to say, Pastor. Your pride is keeping your seat. Your pride says, she was wrong. So guess what? Until she tells me that I'm sorry, I'm not going to move anything in this relationship, or vice versa. The woman said, until he started acting like he's supposed to act, I'm not going to love. You're full of pride. Be contrite. Be broken. Be in a position to obey God. You're in a position to obey God. The Holy Spirit will show you exactly what you need to do. And then there'd be no reason why you won't see God show up in your life. Now I want to caution you with something. In all these cases, we see a time frame where it looked like God immediately did something in that life. And sometimes God will immediately do a powerful work. But sometimes it'll take some time. Now, let me put it in perspective. Let me give you a perspective. How many years did the Israelites have to wait and trust God before he delivered them out of Egypt? Over 400 years, and God's not going to ask you to do that before he shows up. But there will be a time, and God will work in your life individually. God will work in your life personally because he's your personal Savior. And because he worked this way in my life, you can look at it, but not necessarily mean that he's going to work with that way, with that dynamic, with that challenge, with that temptation. This was a temptation for Abraham. This is something that Abraham, he had for Abraham. And God has his test, and he has his trial for you. But we can apply the application that it comes down to my relationship with God and me watching God show up in my life. Some of you think I'm at a dead-end job. I'm not going anyplace. I'm in a dead-end marriage. It's not going anyplace. I got a dead relationship. I'm at a church that I don't feel like I'm being used and utilized and working the talents that I should have. Let me tell you something. You need to obey what God's called you to do. And you keep obeying. And you watch him show up in your life in a very powerful, personable way. I want to be
more than an ordinary servant. We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, Obedience Invites an Infinite God to Show Up in Your Life, Part 2. In today's message, Pastor Bernard discussed how God tests our devotion to him. God will ask us to eliminate anything or any person which has greater importance than him in our lives. What about you? Is there something more important to you than a relationship with God? Who or what is it that is keeping you from God? In order to enjoy a right relationship with God, you must place obedience to the scriptures as a priority in your life. To learn more about a right relationship with God, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org. or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for our next program on Thursday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship.